Our gracious Lord and Heavenly Father, we pray that you would speak through your word into our hearts. And we pray that, Father, that where we need comfort, you would bring comfort. Where we need help and support, we would find it in you. Father, we pray that you would speak into every one of our own individual needs as we come before you this morning. But we pray most of all that you would speak into our deepest need, which is to know you through your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And we ask these things in his saving name. Amen. Well, let me encourage you to have God's word open before you. If you have a Bible, John chapter 15 and verses 9 to 17. One of the slogans used by the British Army is "Be the best." It underlines the Army's commitment to professionalism and excellence, to recruiting people with the right attributes and attitudes, because standards are very important in the Army. Those standards of excellence are seen in peacetime, when our armed forces train, when they carry out manoeuvres, and when they parade, for example. It is always amazing, isn't it, to watch members of our armed forces march and complete drill moves in perfect time with absolute precision during the trooping of the colour. But vitally, those standards of excellence are also seen in times of conflict, as members of our armed forces carry out vital missions, as they negotiate difficult and dangerous situations, as they work together with great courage to rescue communities, restore peace, and defeat those who would threaten it. It is right and incredibly humbling to recognize those realities and to remember the price that has been paid and that continues to be paid to give us peace and liberty. High standards are, of course, very important in other spheres. They're important in business, in food hygiene, in education, in sport. And there are people who have set very high standards. So Steve Redgrave in rowing, Serena Williams in women's tennis, and Kieran McKenna is setting very high standards for Ipswich Town. And we're very glad about that, aren't we? But what about when it comes to setting high standards for deeper and more serious issues, for courage and for kindness and for care? Who defines those standards and who lives them out? What is the benchmark for bravery and commitment and, most importantly, for love? Who defines what ultimate love looks like? Who defines the standard? Who sets the bar? Well, the words of the Lord Jesus Christ that we read a few moments ago set that standard. They give us the benchmark for love. And after all, Jesus is the most qualified to tell us what that standard is. The Bible tells us that God is love, that he is the source of love, that every loving emotion in the universe, every feeling of love, every loving response actually springs from the heart of God. He is the pulse behind every heartbeat of love in our world. And so when it comes to what love is and how to measure love, it is his opinion that counts. And in our Bible reading, Jesus lays down this ultimate standard of love. He says, "There is no greater love than to lay down one's life for one's friends." During World War II, the SS Dorchester set sail on the winter of 1943, carrying 903 troops and four chaplains. And the ship was heading across the icy North Atlantic when it was hit by a torpedo that ripped into the ship and ripped it apart. And the boat began to sink, and the men aboard scrambled for lifeboats and life jackets. And in the terror of all that, one young soldier came up to one of the chaplains to tell him that he'd lost his life jacket. At that moment, the chaplain said, "Take this," and handed the soldier his jacket. Before the ship sank, every one of the four chaplains on board gave his life jacket to another man and then linked arms and lifted their voices in prayer as the SS Dorchester went down. It is that standard of love that we come to remember today. And we know that there are countless other accounts of similar selfless courage in wartime. We come together this morning to honour that courage and sacrifice and to honour a promise that we make every year. We will remember them. We remember the bravery and sacrifice of those who laid down their lives in war and conflict in the past to give us the freedom and liberty that we enjoy in the present. And we take this time to reflect on the price they paid to defeat dark forces of tyranny and evil to bring peace to us, those they counted worth saving. We also remember those who serve so faithfully and courageously in the armed forces in the present, so that we can live under the protection that they provide. And as Billy highlighted so poignantly for us this morning, we remember those who bear the lasting scars of war, the scars of lost loved ones, of fallen comrades, the emotional wounds and devastating memories that so many carry with them. And today we pray for their comfort, for emotional healing, that they may come to know the love of God, which is able to bring help and restoration and peace. There are those who would claim that God doesn't care about these hurts and heartaches, that he is detached and distant and disconnected from the suffering and anguish that we experience as human beings. But the truth couldn't be more different. The Bible reveals to us a God who cares very deeply about human beings and cares very deeply about the man-made trail of suffering that runs throughout human history. He is the God we see in the Lord Jesus Christ, the God who weeps at humanity's heartbreaks, the God who surveys the world that he had made in Genesis chapter 6 when he sees even then the extent of human wickedness on the earth, and the Bible tells us it broke his heart. Don't ever think for a moment that God doesn't care, that he is unmoved by the evil, suffering, and the heartbreak that unfolds every day in our world, in global situations, but also in our everyday lives. He cares about what is happening in your life right now. He cares about the situations you're struggling with and the suffering that you're experiencing, whatever form that may take. But when someone really cares, they don't just stand watching from the sidelines, do they? They act. They step into the situation. They step, as it were, into the trenches with you to help, to support, and to rescue. And sometimes to really help and to rescue, they need to deal not just with the surface issues that we may be experiencing, but with the underlying root causes. For Christians, Remembrance Day is an important day for all the reasons we've already thought about, but also because we relate those sacrifices to an even greater sacrifice, to the ultimate sacrifice right at the center of human history, and to the greatest demonstration of love that the world has ever seen, where God's Son gives his life on a cross. You see, to go back to those words of Jesus, to really understand their weight and their importance, we need to look at them, as it were, through the lens of the situation that Jesus is about to face. When Jesus says those words, "There is no greater love than to lay down one's life for one's friends," he says those words in the shadow of what he is about to face. They aren't just a wise passing insight or a kind of throwaway philosophical aside. These words are full of meaning for the events that are about to unfold in Jesus' life. Jesus will soon go to the cross, you see, to sacrifice his life for his friends then, but also for all those who throughout time will become his friends, BC and AD. So that you see, when we look at those words, what they give us is the why behind the what of Jesus' death, behind that ultimate expression of God's love for us. You see, Jesus didn't come down to earth on a sightseeing trip or just to come and live among us as an example to follow. The reason why Jesus leaves the perfection of heaven and to step into our broken world is out of love. It is because God cared for the people of this world so much that his love for us is so very great that he sends his son on a mission to save us, a mission where he would step into the trenches of this world with all its darkness and brokenness to deal with the root cause of that brokenness, which sadly and very soberly is us and our sin. Because you see, the underlying issue behind what's wrong in the world isn't that God is detached, distant, and disconnected from us. It is that by the choices in our hearts and the way that we live our lives, that we choose to live life distant and disconnected from him. Our sin separates us from him. We live in God's world. We take all the good things that he gives to us, but like rebellious, ungrateful children who cut themselves off from a loving parent, we choose to live without God. We choose to live as though he isn't there. And what's more, we choose to live our way, to live by our rules instead of living the good way that God calls us to live, following the laws that he's given as the Father in heaven who loves us. And as the Father who knows what is best for us and wants us to experience good, not evil. You see, let's just press the pause button just for a minute. Just think what a great place the world would be if we all followed just a few of God's laws for human life. Do not murder. Do not steal. Do not commit adultery. Do not lie. Don't want something that belongs to someone else, which, by the way, is what so many wars seem to start with, isn't it? Imagine if we did follow those laws. Imagine the peace we'd enjoy. Imagine how safe our communities would be, how marriage would be honoured, how families would be safeguarded. Isn't that the type of world we all want? But instead, the problem is our natural direction is to go against those God's laws and follow the magnetic pull of our own ways. And actually, our sin is the root cause of all the evil and all the hostility and all the hatred in the world. They are the visible thorns. They are, as it were, the weeds that grow on the surface. But the underlying root of all these things is human sin. And the greatest sin we commit is that the close relationship with God that we should treasure, that we should see as precious, that we were created to have, is the relationship that we choose to live without. We treat it as a kind of unwanted gift from a distant relative. And the consequences of that aren't just the damaging global issues that confront us on Sky News or the damaging personal issues that we experience. The consequences of sin are also eternal. Because if that breakdown in our relationship with God, that separation is never put right, if we choose to remain cut off from God in this life, then the Bible makes it very clear that we will be cut off from God forever in the next life, lost in darkness and separated from all that is good forever. And so against that background, against that scenario, you see, out of love, God sends his son. He sends his son to rescue us from that eternity. Jesus steps into a broken world to make it possible for our broken relationship with God to be repaired and restored, a mission he achieves by dying for us. I recently read the story of a British soldier called Johnson Beharie, who was awarded the Victoria Cross for bravery. In 2004, in Iraq, his armoured vehicle came under attack setting it on fire. And even though he was shot, Bahari still managed to drive his vehicle and the soldiers he was transporting in it to safety. He led four other vehicles behind him. Then under continuous fire, he climbed out of his burning vehicle to rescue his commanding officer and two other soldiers. It is a staggering act of courage, a staggering act of sacrifice, but it's also an act that helps us in a very limited way to understand what is happening at the cross. Because you see, when Jesus comes and dies at the cross, Jesus is acting to save lives at a great cost. But the rescue that mission that he is on is unimaginably greater, because there we see the God who created the world humbling himself in a way beyond our understanding and giving his life to rescue the people that he gave life to, people like you and me. And the cost is greater. Jesus doesn't just risk his life, he sacrifices his life. And the rescue is greater because Jesus dies to save billions of human beings throughout time. And amazingly, he does it not for people like us who would perhaps... He doesn't do it for people who would call themselves his friends. He does it for people like us who choose to disconnect ourselves from him as rebels. I want to say this. There is no greater example of love in history. And it's a sacrifice that we can use three words to remember: price, peace, and possible. It pays the price of our sins so that we can be forgiven if we put our trust in it. It makes peace with God on our behalf. And it's a sacrifice that makes it possible for us to have our broken relationship with God restored. For the bridge between us and God that we have chosen to burn to be repaired, and for us to walk over that so that we can know friendship with God once more. And it's also a sacrifice that makes great promises to those who put their faith in it. The promise that we will know God's security and God's love and help in this life, that he promises that he will walk it with us, that he will get us through whatever we may face as we live in this broken, sin-affected world. And also that we will know God's fatherly care in every aspect of our lives, in our joys and our sorrows. And he is the Father who assures us that we can bring all our feelings of loss and hurt and sadness to him and find help, that he is the God who is able to repair our brokenness, whatever that brokenness may be, and it will be different for each one of us. And in an insecure and unstable world, this restored relationship with God also brings us the promise of amazing security in the life to come. God promises that at the end of time, we will spend our eternity with him, that we'll spend it in a new, perfect, uninterrupted world of happiness and joy, a world without war, a world without bloodshed and loss, a world without PTSD, a perfect world of permanent peace forever. It is that promise that takes away our greatest fear, the fear of death. Because, by the way, we all know deep down that death is a comma, not a full stop, that beyond this life, there is another life to face. The big issue, of course, is where we will spend that. But if our trust is in the Lord Jesus Christ, then death need hold no fear for us, because it will simply be a doorway to a new eternity of perfect joy and security. God promises that. He will wipe every tear from our eyes, and there'll be no more death or sorrow or crying or pain. All these things are gone forever. You know, it is the promise of that future that enabled those four chaplains we thought about earlier to to willingly give their life jackets to others, because through their faith in Jesus, they knew that their eternity was secure. And so they handed them to others who needed to discover that security too. I wonder, faced with a similar situation, I wonder if that would be the confidence that you would have. The good news of Jesus is that it is a security and confidence that we can all know, that we can all share. God offers it to you. Actually, he offers it to you this morning. If you will come to the cross, if you will see that you need your sin to be forgiven, if you will put your trust in the scene that gives us the ultimate demonstration and ultimate standard of love, and where we see the full definition of Jesus' words, there is no greater love than to lay down one's life for one's friends. And finally and briefly, if we've already accepted that offer, that sacrifice, if already we've come to know that forgiveness, how then are we to respond to that great love? Well, Jesus makes it very clear in that reading, doesn't he? He spells it out for us in verse 12, where he says, "This is my commandment, love each other in the same way that I have loved you." That's an incredibly demanding commandment, isn't it? That in a broken world of discord and disharmony, a world where so often we see hate and hostility, God's people are to be distinctive, and that God's people are to showcase the love of God, and to do that by the way we live and by the way we care and by the way that we love each other and by the way that we reach out to a hurting world, to others who need to know that love because they are on their way to a lost eternity without him, and they need to be rescued. They need the life jacket of Jesus' forgiveness and saving love. Well, let's make it our prayer that with the cross in view, that we will take every opportunity to hand it to them.